来寻你的，去 pray on your heart. The first chapter, Zephaniah, verses 1 through 12.
The word of the Lord which came unto Zephaniah,
yes,
the son of Hushai, the son of Gedaliah,
yes,
the son of Amariah, the son of
Now you know Josiah was one of the kings that were very exceptional. He brought a great revival to the children of Israel. He had the priests look into some of the books of the law, some books that had not been read for a very long time. And he discovered many, many of the things that were advised and commanded for the children of Israel to do had not been done for years and years and years. So he was stirred in his heart, and God placed on him the responsibility to see that those things that restored were restored to the people of God, and that they began to practice those things because they had everything to do with their worship of God and with their perception of God and with their truly serving Him with all their heart. And so God has always had one here and there in the annals of time that He touched their heart. And it was a brave and courageous thing that they did. But God placed it on their heart, and they knew that God had convicted them to do it. So in the face of criticism, in the face of mockery or scorning, they went forth to what God gave and put on their heart and left the results in the hands of God.
Yes.
It just so happened that the people were ripe for a revival. God knows all of us need some type of revivings from time to time. Even though we have revivals every year or so, God personally sends messages and stirrings to us because there needs to be something revived in us. So God talks to us, and He deals with us, and He reveals Himself to us, causes us to be stirred in a way that we were not before. We can listen to God's Word, we can listen to His Word, we can read His Word, we can have the most wonderful devotions, but there are particular times that God requires some definite changes in our life, in our experience, in our walk with Him. And so He sends something forth. May not be across the pulpit, sometimes it is. But God has a way of opening up our heart, opening up our understanding, and putting a fire under us, causing us to consider it imperative. I must see that this is done. Matter of fact, we consider it to be that my entire salvation is hanging on me doing what God has advised that I do in the Spirit. The Lord commands, but He also sends it forth as good, sound counsel and advice.
Thank the Lord.
He doesn't push anything off on us. He actually gives us a choice. We can choose to do it, and we can choose not to. However, if we fail to do it, we will spiritually suffer the circumstances. Not only will we suffer the circumstances, but lives that our lives touch will likewise suffer the consequences of our not being quick, hasten to do the things that God has laid on our heart. At all times, it's going to take some kind of a sacrifice. But when the Lord gets finished with it, you will consider whatever the sacrifice is going to cost something. Whatever we do for God, whatever we receive from Him, it's going to cost us something.
Yeah.
However, we will look and see that whatever it costs, by no means does it compare with the blessing that God has granted in our heart. Nothing like the riches of God's grace abiding in our heart. It's worth it all. It's worth every sacrifice that we make. So may God bless us. Oftentimes the enemy will inflate the great sacrifice we're making to do this for the Lord. When it's certainly nothing more than reasonable service. That He doesn't require anything but reasonable service. But depending on where we are spiritually, it may be a sacrifice for us. may be a great one. But again, heaven will be worth it all.
Yes.
And having an experience when we can have a deeper satisfaction in our soul that we're pleasing God is certainly worth it all. Worth every bit of it.
Yes.
So God bless our hearts tonight. I would say, if I really needed a title for this, I would say it lies somewhere between double-mindedness and being decisive for God. Being decisive. You know, they say that's the prerogative of women, that women can change their minds. Well, men can change their minds too. But when it comes to spiritual things, what God has made bold and plain to us at some season in our life, we don't want to go back and forth with it. We want to be decisive about our life for God. That's how we got to where we are. We made some definite decisions. Definite decisions. We didn't back up on them. We didn't turn to the right or to the left. We went straight on as God told us to. And we're all very, very grateful that we did. So, we think again of Josiah. He was very exceptional. He was a young man. He was a very exceptional young man. And you know, when a king sits on the throne and he has to have counselors, if he's very young, there are many things that he doesn't know. Just like the president, when he comes and sits in that office, there's many, many things that he doesn't know. And he depends on advisors that have expertise in certain areas that come up that need a decision need to be made on, and he goes by their decision. Well, this young man had advisors too. But every time someone gave advice and it did not align with the burden that God had laid on his heart, he knew better than to go that way. God is very explicit. The Spirit speaks expressly. It's very plain. It can be very plain to us. And we need it plainly. We need God to talk to us plainly. And we need to take what God has revealed to us and run with it. Run for your life with it. All right. So Josiah, in the age of Josiah, Zephaniah did his prophesying. He's not a major prophet. He's a minor prophet. But the word that he gave is vital to our life's experience even now. So, second verse goes on to say, utterly consume all things from off the land, saith the Lord. Yes? Yes. Very severe judgments being given out now.
Yes.
Read on, please.
I will also stretch out my hand upon Judah and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and I will cut off the remnant of Baal from this place.
Yes.
In the name of the Shimerim with the priest.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you're going to take note to this. They worship the hosts of heaven. They worship Baal. They worship the Chimerans, who is Chemish. It's another name for Chemish. The major male divinity of the Moabites. And Malcolm is another name for Moloch. If you remember his name in Bible history, it was in worshiping Moloch that the children of Israel caused their children to pass through the fire. In other words, they took some of them as infants, put them on the altar of Moloch, and they rolled down into the fire and were consumed. They were not dead. They were not dead sacrifices, you know. Just as the Lord calls for a living sacrifice, that's how they did it also. And those little children found their way to heaven. Let's read on a little bit more. Let me emphasize again. We're talking about the worship of Baal, the worship of Chemish, and we're talking about the worship of Moloch. Now, Baal was the major male divinity throughout the Phoenician land and throughout all Canaan. But the countries of Moab and the Ammonites both worship Chemosh and Molech. All right, let's read on a little bit more. Yes.
And those that have not sought the Lord.
Yes.
Nor inquired.
All right, he's not leaving out anybody. All right, read on, please.
Hold thy peace at the presence of the Lord God.
Yes.
For the day of the Lord is
at hand. Amen.
For the Lord has prepared the sacrifice, he has bid to get.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
In the same day also, when the Lord said to the people which build their master's houses with violence and deceit.
Mm-hmm.
And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord, that there shall be the noise of a cry from the fish gate, and a howling from the second, and a great crashing from the hill.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I will search Jerusalem with candles and punish the men that are settled on their knees, that say in their heart, the Lord will not do good to be there for me.
That's certainly not a very good attitude for a child of God to have, but apparently it's something that's very common. Now, we can't see in each other's heart. The Holy Ghost can.
Yes.
He can divide asunder between the soul and the spirit, the joint and the marrow. That's very close. When you have a knife cutting through between the joint and your marrow, you feel it.
Yes.
And you feel it intensely. The Word of God is that awakening. It's quick, alive. And sometimes He has to allow some suffering and pain to separate from us those things that would offend Him.
Yes.
And that would be an offense to who we say we are. We are. Who are we? I'm a child of God. Let's make it simple. I'm a child of God. And anything that's offensive to God is offensive to me.
Yes.
That's how it is. The righteous Lord loveth righteousness, and so we love righteousness too.
Yes.
He hates every wicked, evil thing, and so do we.
Right.
But sometimes we have to learn. We have to learn how to love righteousness more perfectly and how to hate wickedness more perfectly. I don't know if it was last week, but warned to them that call evil good and good evil.
Yeah.
Sometimes we need God to make it real plain to us.
Yeah.
There's some things we can become so accustomed to seeing and accustomed to hearing, and we become so used to it that it's not an abomination to us anymore. God help us and encourage us. We must consider everything that's unlike God an abomination to Him.
Yes.
If we love the world, then we are made ourselves an enemy of God.
Yes.
And you know, that sounds bad, but it's even worse. It's worse than it sounds.
Yes.
To be God's enemy? Now, folks,
yes,
the last enemy I want on this earth or in heaven above is God. Now, I may have enemies. I can't point any out. I probably do, but I don't know who they are, and I just as soon as stay that way.
Yes.
I know the devil's my enemy. I know he's my adversary. And so I'm to keep my ire and my righteous indignation toward him.
Yes.
And toward myself when need be.
Yes.
What did the Job say? I've heard of thee by the hearing of my ear, but now my eyes see it. My spiritual eyes have been opened up. The shackles or whatever it was that was hindering my vision has been taken away, and I see myself like I've never seen myself, and I abhor myself. Strong words. I abhor myself. And he meant every word of it. And God help us. There are times in our experience that we see something about ourselves. That abhor, it's a strong word, but it fits the bill. It actually describes what God wants us to feel toward the things that are hindering us in our spiritual practice. All right? Most of the time, there are things that we just never saw before, or never saw it just like that. But as I say, and as you well know, God can make things very, very plain to us. So I'm thankful for that, and I know you are too. Because if God didn't show us, if he didn't have mercy, if he didn't wait on us to come to a time and a place in our experience that we could bear the truth that he's revealing to us, then where would we be? Where would we be? Thank God for his mercy. Thank God he didn't toss us to the side. Thank the Lord he bore with us, long with us. He bore long with us. And he still is. And I thank him for that too. All right. And so, in this little lesson tonight, we have strong judgments. It's mostly to Judah, mostly to the children of Israel. We find this is a time and period where we have the house of Judah and the house of Israel with their 10 tribes that are to the north and have gone off and worshiping, especially Baal, became to be the religion of the court, the kings and queens and the nobles and the princes. It's kind of like it became popular and fashionable to worship. In the time of the Greek Empire and the Roman Empire, it became fashionable to be homosexual. This was the time when paganism was ruling, where it was just a common, ordinary thing. And so since the dragon, paganism, has been loose for a season, we see a return to that type of attitude of heart and mind, where it's just the fashionable thing to do. God have mercy on the heart and the mind that succumbs to such things. But you know, they're not lost until God says they're lost. In other words, God can still redeem some of those men and women that have been deluded and perverted in their minds to take on something that God never did intend. So God help us and bless us. Let us continue to carry such a burden. There are still people, I believe, that are being converted that chose that way of life. And so God has power and ability and authority over every unclean spirit. Sometimes we see big devils and little devils. It's kind of like this individual. I probably told this before. There's a brother. He rarely came out to California. And in his words, it felt like the devil had bigger horns in California. They had a bigger demon, bigger devils. But folks, that's just as good as the devil would like you and I to think. That a certain place, there's bigger demons, bigger devils. There are a lot of people in agreement with those things. They may have a majority or maybe have two-thirds, three-fourths of those people to make it seem that way. But the devil is life-size when you look at him through God's power. And so God help us. Let us not ever think that God does not have the power and authority to overrule and unseat the devil. He is stronger than whatever demon is that we're dealing with. And God, sometimes we need to be stirred and encouraged that way. Sometimes we're a little timid about maybe, I don't know, public and even in your personal devotions of getting very serious and indignant against the powers of the enemy that are coming against souls. They're souls.
That's right.
And regardless of what environment they grew up in, the enemy worked with them and caused them to come to a place where to accept something like that was just, well, I need a drink of water. And that's how some of them do it. Well, I needed a drink of water. So if you're thirsty, don't you take a drink of water? Some people look at the sinful things that they do just that way. It's just just a nothing much about it. I just need to do it. And the devil's convinced many that they were born that way. I dealt with someone on their deathbed. And that was one of the things they said. I brought it up as the Lord told me to bring it up, and I knew the history of this individual. And I brought it to their mind, and that's what they said. They had been saved and backslid so many times. I don't know how many times. I said, I just thought I was born this way. But through God's mercy, they were convinced that they were not born that way. No one was born that way. God made them male and female. And so I believe that God witnessed to my heart that he heard prayer in their behalf. They suffered for several weeks on, then God took them to be with him. And I thank God for it. I thank God for his mercy. God allows many people to just go on and die and just be at peace. You know, I was born this way, and God knows me, and he knows how things were in my life. And no. God help us. When a person is honest and will acknowledge, God will provide somebody, some avenue, some means of us receiving the help that we need, if we will. So it is here. It was just fashionable thing to do. And sad to say, it starts up high, people that are thought highly of, entertainers, and then people in our very high positions. It starts with them. All you have to do is have somebody shave off, a woman shave off half her head, and then you're going to have people following that style, and they're going to shave off half their hair too. Because there's something about the force of wanting to be accepted and thought of as being fashionable, in the know, or I don't know what all they call it. It's foolishness, of course, but their eyes are blinded, and they don't see that. So God have mercy upon souls. Just all the things that somebody in the entertainment world or someone higher up start wearing their hat to the side, or started wearing their pants lower. Just it doesn't take much, or can't have any skinny pants. Yeah. Somebody that has money, somebody that has influence started that, and then it catches on. But God help us. As people of God, we do not bow to the fashions and fads of this world. We don't love the world, neither the things that are in the world. God, have mercy and help us and bless us and encourage us. That we keep a strong rebuke in our heart toward everything that God is not pleased with. Excuse me. All right. Pardon me. And so, here we have a king in a position that would cause some to emulate, cause some to be envious. Yeah. Oh, I wish I had. I wish I had power, fame. I wish I had money, riches. I wish I had that. You watch what you wish for. Watch your imaginations and do not allow them to take you in places where God would not be welcome. May the Lord bless and encourage our hearts to know of a surety God is well pleased with the simplicity that he manifested and shown through his son Christ. There is a simplicity in living for God. It's not complicated. It does not take much ado. It's like the world has had much ado about nothing. Vanity. Worthless things. And sometimes we will be much ado about something that is of no value at all to a child of God. So here we are going through life, and we see these things and we see these people, and it's good for us to know and understand that there is a great gulf in the mind of God, just like there's a great gulf between heaven and earth, heaven and hell. There's a great gulf In the spiritual realm, it is a great gulf. It's not just a little thin dividing line. It's a great gulf between righteousness and unrighteousness. So, Lord, bless us and help us. There's plenty of space for an individual to indulge in things that are ungodly. It's a broad way. You can be on either side of the broad way and seem like, well, at least I'm close to living for the Lord. You know that's not good enough. That's not going to do when a man's head is on a dying pillow. We need to be straight out for God, all for God. Everything I have, all I have or hope to be, is in Christ Jesus. I'd like to talk a little bit about Chemosh, the god, the national male god of the Moabites. The name itself, yes, means for someone to go about in black, because that's the color that the priest of the temples and worship, Chemosh, that's what they wore. Now, I think of a woman that had every opportunity and probably the greater part of her life worshiped Chemosh. And that woman's name was Ruth. She worshiped him with her family. She came from a background where they weren't poor. They weren't the richest in town, but they weren't poor either. She married a young man that came from the background of the Israelites, Elimelech, the father, in a time of drought, decided to take his family, his wife, Naomi, and his two sons, Malon and Kilian, took them to the Moabites' land, thinking that they would be able to restore themselves to wealth. They weren't just rich, but they were well-to-do too. They had land, and they had plenty of land, and that land brought forth bountifully. But when the drought came, then they felt like it was time for them to pick up and go. It was mostly the father. He is time for him to pick up and go somewhere else, because the grass is always greener on the other side. Yeah. In a time of drought, it's not very easy to sit and wait on God. It's not very easy to do that. Some people will feel like, well, if something doesn't happen by next year, I'm leaving my inheritance and going somewhere else. But folks, that's a dangerous thing for you to do. God ordains times of drought. In Bible times, there have been many droughts. And God always provided for his people. When you can't just readily go to the store and buy what you desire to eat, then you just eat what's available. You're not able to have those prime ribs. Not able to have the best cuts of meat. Maybe you can't have any meat at all. But God makes certain that you don't have to go out and beg bread. And when it comes to spiritual things, God will make certain that you're fed in your soul, and God will make certain that you can flourish like the palms of Lebanon. God is able to do that. God will teach us how to feed ourselves. Now, folks, listen. Some of the most spiritual men and women that there ever was were people that were isolated saints. They did not have the privilege to go to a church house or a meeting house. And so they had to dig down and get it for themselves if they were going to stay saved. And so they learned to do it. They learned how to do it. Sometimes the conditions are not the very best for some. But that's a time when God does not provide it for you, then God's going to give you access by faith for you to dig down and get more serious in your devotion time, get more serious in your prayer life, and cause you to be able to get the substance that you need to have a spiritual heart and mind toward him. Those are the type of people that God begins to use among the people of God. People that dug down for it for themselves. Now, there are some people, it doesn't matter where they are or what conditions exist, they're going to always flourish because they're going to take the initiative. They're not going to wait for anyone to spoon feed them. They're not going to wait for times to get better. I'll just sit back and relax and just wait on God. They take the initiative. Lord, I'm hungry in my soul, and I need you to help me. I need you to give me what I need. So God blesses them, and it stirs them on the inside and causes them to realize you're to always hunger and thirst, and you don't ever have to worry about being filled when you are looking to God, the God of heaven, for the substance you need to stay fat and flourishing in your soul. And so sometimes God knows how to stir us. If people did not have a time, I'm talking about in your own personal experience. There are little drought periods where it doesn't seem like your prayers go through. You don't feel the satisfaction that your prayers are going through like it used to. When you read the Word of God, it doesn't seem like you get the blessing and inspiration. But do you stop reading the Word of God? No, you keep on doing it. What about praying? Well, I just don't feel the inspiration anymore. We don't pray because we feel inspired in our personal devotion with God. We pray because we need to. We know prayer is our breathing. It's our life. And we must do it. And we can never allow ourselves to tire of doing the things that keep us strong and flourishing in our soul. Do you believe this? So God help us. God help us. You know, when there is a drought, when there is even spiritual drought amongst God's people, you find out the tried and the true. You find out who they are. God help us. So, O Christian, where art thou? Where art thou? Do you have to have an easy time of it? Do you have to have a pat on the back every so often? What if nobody pats you on the back? Is there something wrong with them? Or do you look within you? Lord, just help me. Help me. Have mercy and help me, Lord. I know there are times in everyone's experience that God will make you the focal point. And you'll just get more praise and more pats on the back than you. Wondering where are all these people coming from. Then there are times when God has them step back to see whether you can be abased and still flourish in your soul. Paul said he learned how to be abased. And you know, if we're going to be anything for God, we're going to have to learn how to be abased too. And still don't miss a beat. And so God used Josiah. And God has had Josiahs down through the years. But what if it isn't time for a Josiah? Then what are you going to do then? God help us. There's a time and season for every purpose. Now, you happen to be in a congregation where you get good feeding. But there are places where people don't even have the opportunity to go anywhere. They don't. I remember people talked about in Huffman. Someone told me that lived there said they planned for a whole week to go to a meeting 30 miles away. Yeah. They don't have an opportunity, but they stay sane. They stay sane in spite of it all. So, Lord bless us. What kind of saints are we truly going to be? Are we going to wait for Josiah to come along? I'm talking about in your personal relationship with God. You're going to wait for somebody to boost you on? Or are you going to ask God to give you the spiritual initiative to see to it that you dig, that you beg if you have to, and that you trust God to take you to the place spiritually where you can be the blessing that God intended for you to be? You don't even know what's all in you. You don't even know. You haven't even been challenged in some of the lines that God wants to challenge us on. There's so many things that I don't know about myself. And I wouldn't have known it unless God had challenged me as to what the Lord has blessed me with. But there's so many other things. And sometimes God can't trust us with a challenge. God help us now. God help us. Sometimes we're just a little too babyish. And, oh Lord, help us. We've all been a little babyish now. Don't let the devil accuse you. We've all had times in our life's experience where we were just a little too babyish and expected more from others than we should have expected. Not only should we not expect it from people, we should expect it from God only. And when God blesses people to bless us, that's God. God is doing it. God has vessels that he can use. Are you going to be one of those vessels that he can use? Don't have to take a pulpit to be that kind of individual. That's a blessing in the kingdom of God. Every congregation needs them. And they need more than they have now. So you will be filling some vacancies if you do strive ahead. Now let's talk about Ruth. Let's turn to the book of Ruth. I'm not going to read it all. I just want to read the part where she spoke to her mother-in-law. This is one of the most beautiful entreaties, or how, wherever you would want to put it. It's one of the most beautiful scriptures in the entire Bible. Now recognize, Elimelech had two sons, and they blended themselves into the culture of the Moabites. They took a Moabitish wife, both of them, Ruth and Orpah. Ruth, again, grew up, as well as Orpah, knowing only about Chemosh and all the other multiplicity of gods that they had. When there was a drought, an earthquake, a flood, any kind of disaster at all, that's when they made the greater amount of sacrifices. That's when they gave heed to that idol god. It was made of stone or wood, whatever it was made of. Some kind of way, Ruth did not attach herself to the god of her husband. She attached herself to the god of her mother-in-law. That's a little unusual too, isn't it? But God had it that way. God had it that way. There was something she saw in the life of her mother-in-law. God blessed and challenged all mother-in-laws. God help me. God help every one of us that have unsaved children, unsaved in-laws. God help us be able to have the goods on hand, that they can tell the difference in who we are and what we are and what we stand for. That they will long for that God. They are already familiar with the gods of this world. But, oh God, help us and bless us to realize how precious it is for them to be able to see a beacon light somewhere and cause them to gravitate toward that rather than the God of their companion. Yes. Most women will follow after their husband to a certain extent, but it takes something sometimes a little more for a woman to win her husband. God help us. Well, let's just say like it is. Some women are pretty hard to win, and some men are pretty difficult to win. But there is a way to do so. And it's usually not overnight. Sometimes it's a number of years. Sometimes it's a shorter time than that. However, God has a time and season. If we're praying and God's witness to our heart, I'm going to save your companion. We have several unsaved companions in the congregation. And I'm sure we're all praying one for another. Some have unsaved children, some have unsaved companions, and our burden reaches out to them. God help us to have whatever substance Naomi had in her life to win her daughter-in-law to the truth of God's word. And so, rather than be taken up with the gods that she was brought up with, God gave her a conviction to the extent that when both of the husbands died, and she entreated them both to go back. Go back to your families. I don't have anything for you. All I am advising you to do is to go back to your families. I'm sure they'll take you in, your young women, and you'll be able to get a husband from someone among the associates that you have. Your father will very likely recommend some young man to you, and you'll be able to carry on your life. And so this was a great decision that Ruth made. She was very decisive about it. Now, Orpah, it seemed at first that she was not going to be turned away either. No, we're both going after you. We're both going to follow you. But as it was, when you married into a family, your mother-in-law became just like your mother. Your father-in-law became just like your father. It wasn't like they called each other in-law. They just called you, I owe my allegiance to my husband's mother, and I'm going to take care of her. That's what was in their mind. But Orpah's mind was not well made up. And so when it came a time for a separating, what do we have Ruth saying? Entreat me not to leave you. Entreat me. Don't even ask me. Don't ask me again. She said it in a respectful kind of way. She let it be known that my heart, my mind, my spirit, my all I have, I am devoting to the God that you serve. I see something there that inspires my soul to the degree that I no longer have a loyalty or allegiance to the gods that I grew up to believe. I grew up to serve. I grew up to worship. I no longer have that. She, somewhere along the line, she made up her mind it was worth the challenge. It was worth the risk, and it was the risk. She didn't have anything at all to hope for when she went to the land, back to the land of Judah, of Israel. First of all, she was an outcast. She was a foreigner. And you know how the scripture taught them not to have anything to do with other lands and other nations. And so she was going there uninvited, so to speak, and there was no way that she was going to be able to prosper unless something miraculous happened. And God let it happen. But she said, entreat me not to leave thee or from following after you. Wherever you go, you're going to find me right there with you. Wherever you lodge, if it's in a cave, if it's in a quantum hut, whatever it is, I'm casting my lot with you. Go ahead. Your people are going to be my people. Your God is going to be my God. Wherever you die, let me lay my head wherever you are. Wherever your God is worshipped, that's where I want to be. That's where I want to go. So she made a choice. She made a choice that was very decisive. And I don't believe it mattered anything that Ruth could have said to her. She would not let her go. I've thought of this situation and tried to put myself into it a number of times. And I wondered about myself. I don't know about you, but I wondered. I wondered how loyal I would have been to this woman that served the God of heaven. I can think of times in my life that I would not have been. I can think of times in my life as a younger woman with aspirations and ambitions. I may have seen the rationality in going back to my family. I may have. It's a very good likelihood that I may have. But this is a once-in-a-lifetime choice that she made. She would never get this opportunity to be able to know the sovereign creator of the ends of the world unless she had made this kind of a choice. We make choices in our life, and some of them are opportunities that won't come by but one time. And it's up to us to get something special from God to help us to make the kind of choices that will cause our life to be a success in the eyes of God and cause us to actually fulfill and satisfy the purpose for why we're here. Ruth's purpose for why she was here hung on her decision right here. She may have grown up to be one type of a woman, but God transitioned her when she made the right choice into a woman that could be relied upon and trusted and used of God in a wonderful type of a way.
Yes.
And so, don't make me. I won't go. I say she was very respectful. She had to have had a lot of love for her mother-in-law, but she had even more love for her mother-in-law's God.
Yes.
And that's what really matters.
Yes.
When we have choices to make in our life, there are loyalties that we have in God's sanctions. And there's some things, as God works with us in our life, that we have loyalties for where God is not at the center of them all. And thereby, we come to a place where we have to make a decision and rightly divide what is of God and what is not. Everyone had things in their past life that they felt were worthy of being loyal to. But when it comes to living for God, Jesus Christ and He alone is our one loyalty.
Yes.
Everything else takes a second place to that. Jesus Christ, the atonement that He made, and what it meant for me personally, and what it will mean for others, that I'm able to convince by my life, that I'm able to convince that this is the way, walk ye in it. God help us. It's a very challenging thing when I think of it. God calls us to have whatever kind of decision-making process that Ruth had. May we have more of it.
Yeah.
All right. Now, Ruth. I think she's just one of the most beautiful characters in the Bible. And when we relate to her for who she really was, and the kind of graces, the kind of spiritual mind that she really had, we will see her as someone that is very, very special and someone that you don't meet up with every day. God grant us more roofs. There are many people out in the world and all they need is to be convinced. There's roofs out there somewhere. God help us to be able to have the conviction in our lives that will cause them to feel God's conviction as well. To turn their lives over to Almighty God and be used of Him in a way that's pleasing to Him. Rahab, the same way. She was brought up the same kind of way, although her challenge was even greater. She was a harlot. Who would think that a harlot? Who would believe that a harlot actually got a revelation of God and chose to serve the God of the Israelites rather than her own gods? Who would think that a woman that seemed like had so many strikes against her would think she had any credibility with the men of God that came to search out her city? But it happened. There was something that happened to her. Something about the news that she heard. She had never seen or had a conversation with an Israelite before the spies came to stay at her place. She had very likely had to do something to do with the invitation for them to come and stay with her. But God had done something for her. When she heard about the news of what the Lord had done in the crossing of the Red Sea, and especially when it came so close, the crossing of the Jordan, there was something about that that turned her heart and mind and convicted her that this God of the Israelites is the God that is going to overcome this thick-walled city, and we're all going to be killed if we don't do something about it. No one would hear her. Then she began to appeal after it was promised to her that ribbon was hanging out, that red thread was hanging out when they came back, that she would be able to be saved with her children, with her mother or father, and with her brother and sisters and their children. You know, God had mercy. I think about people that started out with a greater challenge perhaps than we had. Most of us have been exposed to the truth most of our life, probably all of our life. But for us to come out of seemingly nowhere and embrace the truth of God's word and love him and serve him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Now that's saying something. And I would love to see the Lord bring in more Ruths and even Rahabs. God can make great changes in the lives of every individual that has a heart toward him. You know, folks, it's so easy to be contemptible toward people that are not like us. You know, I don't know how anybody could live like that. I just don't understand it. Well, you know what? Most of us wouldn't understand much of that. But we do know God. And we do know his love for every soul. And we do know God can make changes in an individual's life if they'll only allow him to. So God is open for saving prostitutes and harlots. God is open for saving whosoever will. So God help us. May God encourage us as we pray that we will look to the God of heaven to reach out and touch somebody that is in great need of his help. I recall times of... I remember there was a time that I had to pray for myself because I had not been accustomed to the type of people that it fell my lot, so to speak, to have to deal with. And I found myself having a pride about me that Lord, I just need your help. I'm not accustomed to dealing with these kind of people. But there go I. How is it that I did escape that type of a life? Yeah. Some kind of way God has special mercy upon me. Some kind of way God saw some little degree of honesty in me. Some kind of way God saw some honesty in every one of us and caused us to be led in a path away from all the things that could have happened in our life. And we're eternally grateful to him. But God help us not to be contemptible toward those that have not had an opportunity to know God's truth like you and I have. May we let the Lord give us the kind of compassion that we need for souls that need special help from God. When you think of the mission field, folks, sometimes we just like to think about it as people. People, they're just in another church. They're decent people. They're hardworking people. They have some semblance of morality about them. And, yep, those are the kind I want to work with. What about the other ones? What about those that are not decent? What about them that have no ethical value at all? Had no moral compass? What about them? You say, well, now that's a special ministry. God help us. It may be. But at the same time, are you willing to pray and call on God to save some? It may not be here. Maybe it is. Maybe it will be here. Maybe those type of people need something, somebody like you or myself, to love them and care for them. May God help us. You may think this is going a little too deep for you, but this is the burden that the Lord has given me, and I trust you will consider it. God help us and encourage us to know what it means through someone else's eyes to be so far away from God and see no way out until he sees you. God help us. All right, let me read on a little bit more. We don't have to read 1 Kings 18 chapter. You know what it's about. Elijah challenged the children of Israel. Why halt you between two opinions? How come you can't make up your mind? Why can't you make up your mind that the Lord, he is God? Why must there always be some type of a miracle? Something grand. The water turned to blood. Lice and the Lord take it away. Why must it be so spectacular for you to believe? Why must I raise somebody from the dead for you to believe that I can do it? Why must it be like that? Can't you just believe that Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean? What is it going to take? Now you believe this and you believe that. I know God can do anything. I know He's almighty. Do you? God help us. God help us. God is interested in souls tonight. He's interested sometimes more than we are. God, prime up our interests in people that are lost and away from Him, that are going down and are filling a Christless grave every second. God, give us something more than what we have. Lord, in tune our hearts toward a love and a care for those that are in need. Those that desire God and just don't know how to find Him. God, help us as we intercede in our prayer lives that somebody can be touched. Just a touch from God will do wonders. It will be, as we heard in the message not long ago, and I believe that myself, but sang a song, it took a miracle to hang the world in space. It took a miracle to place the stars in space. But when He saved my soul, cleansed and made me whole, it took a miracle of love and grace. That's what it's going to take. It's going to take God touching us, touching you and I, in ways that we have not known how to be touched. Most of us are not going to be able to go anywhere for souls to be saved. But folks, in your secret closet, you and I can make up our mind, Lord, I'm going to make a sacrifice and a consecration to You. And I'm not going to stand alone when I come before Your throne. I'm going to make that kind of sacrifice, Lord. I'm going to have souls that You help me to contact, to touch somewhere in my life. I am looking for You to bless me that I'll be able to make the kind of difference. My name may never be heard from coast to coast, but oh God, I know Your record's on high. And I'm looking for You to use this vessel in such a manner that through my life and through my prayer life, souls may be saved around the entire world. I may never meet them. I may never know what their name is. But oh God, help me to have a part. The fields are already white. We don't have to wait for the fields to get white. We don't have to wait for a harvest time. The harvest time is already here. And we have such a short time. The devil is working all the time and overtime in whatever way you want to express it. He's doing his business and he's doing it well. You say, there's an increase. I've never seen so many bold, brazen homosexuals. Why? Because they've gotten a word from the top. Because somebody was deceived backing something that God never intended. So that's why it's been, Lord, help us to pray from the top on down. Oh God, help us. Have mercy upon us. Let us not be lackadaisical. The devil, again, is not wasting one moment of time. Not one millisecond. He's not wasting it. You think you could have a little more time to spare? To plead mercy? For souls. That's probably all I preach about, isn't it? God help us. It all winds down to this. That's my burden. That's what I'm consumed with. I see them. I see them every day. I hear their cry every day. But it takes people that have made a decision. They're going to make a sacrifice for souls to be won into the kingdom of God. It takes that. We can't be back and forth. We can't just lay down that, I'm going to consecrate to this today, and the next month, you're back with the same thing hanging on. God help us. It takes a well-made up mind to serve the Lord and to win souls. God is calling for His church to reach out for souls. The devil is doing everything he can to separate the power of God's people. There's power. There's power when we're all working together. And the devil knows how to separate it. And God knows how to heal it. God knows how to mend. And we oftentimes, we don't realize what a difference we can make just in asking in faith for the right things. God help us. Oftentimes when we see something or someone out of step, if you're not careful, you look on them with a very critical eye. And you're not praying in the least bit about them. You're just enunciating the fact that there's something wrong with them. Something wrong with that person. There probably is. But are you praying for them? I'm not saying you can't see anything that's not critical. You can. But if you're not praying too, then you're not doing your job. You're not doing your job. It takes more than just criticizing and look on and not have anything to offer to remedy the situation. Lord, heal this matter.
Yeah.
Lord, heal me.
Yeah.
Sometimes just your prayers won't do the job. Sometimes it takes a little more than that. But God, keep a constant prayer of my heart and mind for your church, for your body, for the saints in Africa, whoever they are, that they'll know how to make a difference. The saints in the British Isles, it's a shame. It's a real shame how the enemy has made such headway in places that at one time was a seedbed for missionaries that went to all parts of the world and made a great difference. There are so many of them, I can't even name them all. There are men and women from Scotland, men and women from England, the missionary groups that went to all parts of the world and made a difference. Again, we may not be called to do that, but folks, we can make a difference right in the four walls of our home. We can make a difference. God help us that we'll be able to work for Him where we are. 1 Corinthians 10 and 21, would you read that for me, please? Yes. You know what was happening then? Some of them were eating of the sacrifices that were made in the idolatrous temples. They were eating of them. They were partaking of them. They were trying to be Christians. They were unlearned, many of them. But they had to be soundly rebuked by Paul. Let them know, listen, this doesn't mesh. Just like oil and water, it doesn't work together. You're either all for Christ. It's either for me to live as Christ and to die as gain, or you won't be able to make it. Everything has to be centered around Christ. Your consciousness needs to be on Christ and not on yourself. Oh, God, help us. That's another area where the Lord needs to perfect us, doesn't it? Doesn't He, rather? We are so self-conscious. We are so conscious of ourselves. We're so conscious of how we look and how we're thought of. We're so conscious of that we forget that the greatest consciousness we should have is whether Christ is pleased with our life. Whether we're doing everything that we can. Whether we're bringing the gift of true love to the Savior. That's what we need to be more conscious of than anything else. God help us. God encourage us along the way. Let me see. One more scripture, perhaps. James, the 4th chapter, 4 through 10. I failed to read the rest of that scripture about Ruth. When Naomi saw that she was steadfastly minded, is that what it says? She was steadfastly minded to go with her. She said nothing more to her. Don't you know you can put the devil on the run like that too? You can be so steadfastly minded. The devil doesn't give you temptations about going back on God. He works in other areas that you may be vulnerable. But you don't have the same temptations why don't you just give up? When's the last time you had that kind of temptation? See, it's been a while. We can be so steadfastly minded for God and for his work and will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. That the devil, if he gets you, it's going to have to be something that has to do with your worshiping God. God help us. You might make mistakes that way, but folks, giving up God and going back, just entreat me not. I am not going anywhere. God help us. What is the song saying? I got my foot on the rock and my mind's made up. Say what you will. Do what you will. Do your worst. But I'm going through. Started for heaven and I'm going through by the grace and help of God Almighty. Yes, yes, would you please read that? Help us to do it, Lord. Yes. Help us, Lord. If you are conflicted in your experience about anything that's questionable in your life, you should have a little talk with Jesus. If you don't feel like you need to come to the altar, that's all right. But give it the time and attention that God requires. Anything that you're not quite sure of, you don't want to stay in that place very long. You want to resolve that matter between you and God. Mm-hmm. And put your all into living for him and be about our Father's business. Don't you know, wish ye not that I must be about my Father's business? What's his business? Saving souls. God help us. Pray for me.